So what we're going to do in this seminar session, so as we mentioned, if you were here on Friday, Stephen and Deborah Pasht were meant to be joining us for the weekend. Deborah then broke her wrist on Thursday, so not able to be with us. And so they were going to, and Stephen particularly was going to be doing a seminar on Jewish obstacles and, no, Jewish objections and Christian obstacles to sharing faith with Jewish people. So if you were here in the morning service a few weeks ago, Stephen actually came and preached from Romans 10 and was, you know, thinking about Jewish, reaching Jewish people specifically, which is obviously his burden and his desire, what he's what they're doing in Geneva. He was going to be helping us with a bit more practical stuff to think about how we do that. Unfortunately, we can't do that. And therefore, I'm going to lead us in a session which is going to just broaden things out a bit more and think just generally about the obstacles we face in sharing our faith, which should tie in nicely with what we've been hearing from Jonah as well, and we'll continue to hear later. Okay, but first of all, I'm going to pray, and then we're going to hear a little bit more about the bookstall. So let's pray first of all. Father, we thank you again for this place. We thank you that we can be here as your people for the time that we've enjoyed, however long we've been here over the weekend. Thank you that you are with us by your Holy Spirit, and that you have been speaking through your word, and you're continuing to do that this morning as we meet. Please encourage us as we think more practically about the obstacles that we face to sharing our faith, to sharing all the good things we've been hearing about you over this weekend and the ways that we find that challenging sometimes. Help us as we think about that. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
We're going to think about obstacles. And just to explain, we've given out some of these leaflets again. We'll come back to that towards the end of this session. This is just going to remind us of some of the things we thought about at the Vision Evening, if you were with us in November, to make sure we're still thinking about them over these months, thinking about the bigger picture, not just Sunday by Sunday, week by week in the life of the church, but some of the things that we want to pray for together as God's people. And that does tie in very much with sharing our faith, which is what we're going to think about now. So let me just put this lectern back up. Sounds better. There we go. Right. So last year we did, you can see on the screen behind me, I'm sorry I'm standing in the way of it. We did a survey of everybody in St. John's, and you may have responded to it. And we asked people, what are the things that make it difficult to share your faith with others? Okay, and I think we mentioned a few things about it at the time, but here is a reminder of what we found, and it's really interesting to see what we all think. So this is us. It is very much us, the church family. This is what we think across. And I'm sure you know we've all got slightly different things, but taken all together, the top three reasons that we say are the reasons why it's hard to share our faith with others: lack of interest among people that I know, so people aren't interested; fear of how people might respond, I worry about what they're going to say; fear as well of offending people. Those are the top three reasons. Okay, now it's also interesting to see the bottom three reasons. So these are the ones that were least mentioned of the choices that we were given. So at the other end, I don't see the need. In other words, we do see the need. It's not that we think, oh, well, it doesn't really matter. I don't need to share my faith with non-Christians around me that I know. No, we know that we need to. We're clear on that. I don't know any non-Christians. Now, sometimes for Christians, this is a bit of an issue. That actually we get into our kind of Christian subculture and all we have are Christian friends. But actually, again, that isn't, you know, actually, it seems that we're saying, no, we do know non-Christians. I guess, you know, many of us are in workplaces, we're surrounded all the time by non-Christians. And then we'll have non-Christian family, non-Christian friends in different ways. So again, that's not one of the reasons. And then no personal experience to share. That's not one of the reasons. So in other words, that might sort of connect to, do I know what to say? If, you know, if given the opportunity, for example, could I share what God has been, what God has done in my life? Will I be able to articulate that in some way? Now, I'm sure some of us would feel more confident in that than others. And perhaps if we've only been a Christian a short time, that can feel a harder thing. Although sometimes, actually, when you've only been a Christian a short time, you're really clear why you've become a Christian. It's really obvious. And then as time goes on, people become a little bit more sort of, I'm not quite sure, I want to get it right. And we worry about that a little bit. But again, that doesn't seem to be the main thing that's holding us back from talking to friends. But those top three things. So as we come to that afresh, that was a year ago or so that we put that out there. What do we think of that? Let's have some time just in groups of 4 and 5. What's your reaction to that? Do those reasons chime? Would you add anything? Would you put it differently? Is that your experience? Let's discuss in groups for a few minutes together.
Great. Okay, so these are real obstacles, aren't they? So they're not nothing at all. And they are things that we encounter, and they really do make us think, oh, you know, how do I do it in this context? And it's just easier not to, and all that kind of thing. I mean, one of the interesting ones, I think the fear thing is huge, isn't it? So that, you know, number two and number three there, it's kind of obvious. That's an interesting one to think about. The other one, the lack of interest one, is an interesting one, isn't it? Because, it all depends what we mean, doesn't it? There's a survey that was a Talking Jesus survey, which is done amongst, it's a proper statistically sound survey done of lots and lots of non-Christians and in the last couple of years. And they came up with the statistic that a third of non-Christians are happy to hear more about Jesus having had a conversation with a Christian friend about Jesus. Okay, so a third is probably not as many as we'd like it to be, is it? Because that still leaves two-thirds who are going to say, not, no thank you, and want to move on. But a third is still quite a lot of people, one in three. There is still, therefore, there is that sense of, I might put myself out there, I might say something, and it might make things awkward and difficult, and how do I play that? What do I do? Is it worth the cost? Is it worth the risk? But there's quite a lot of people, statistically speaking, who are probably more interested than we think. And then beyond that, we have to think, what is the gospel? Is this good news? Because if it is good news, it is relevant, isn't it? It is about things that everybody deals with and struggles with. So it is about the meaning and purpose of life. It's about death. Now, people don't want to talk about death for obvious reasons, but here is something that addresses that and gives us hope where, there isn't really any other hope that you can give in the face of death. So we have actually got something to say about questions that people often don't, they may not want to think about very much. But perhaps there's something there about having confidence that this message is actually something that will benefit people. Now, you might think, well, they still don't want to hear it. Well, great. But, we're not offering them, it's not that we're not offering something bad to them when we offer Jesus to them. We're offering good news. And that's part of something we might need to think about. Now, if you look on the on page 12, I put down just these four kind of headings to think about with sharing our faith. And things that, you know, this is not rocket science, literally. It is you know, things we might have thought about before, but it's just worth thinking, you know, do these things feature in the way that we approach our friendships with others? They all end in up. So pray up. Pray. Pray. It's a pretty basic thing, isn't it? But it's got to start with praying for our non-Christian friends. So we've been doing, in the life of the church, we've been doing this pray for five idea, particularly if you've been to our monthly prayer meetings, where we want to say, let's make sure we've got five people in mind that we particularly want, you know, would love to see come to know Jesus. Now, we might think, this particular person I'm praying for, I cannot imagine how it's going to happen. Well, turns out you're praying to the God of the universe who can, you know, send a fish and all that kind of thing. So we start with prayer. And, you know, if we're not doing that, well, no surprise, it's really hard and really tough when we occasionally kind of give it a go. So that's place to start, isn't it? To say, we do need to pray and we need to keep encouraging each other to do that. The next one is the one that Dorothy highlighted, and I think is again really important. It's own up. Own up. Okay, because yes, if people do not know that we are Christians, it's going to be really, really hard ever to share the good news with them, isn't it? So what does that mean? I might have heard me tell this story before, but there was a story of a guy who thought, you know, actually, all that's needed for me, you know, at work is just to live in a kind of godly Christian way in front of my colleagues. And, you know, over time, I'm just going to trust God that it's going to kind of rub off on them and they'll kind of get it. And so he was a gracious, positive influence. Everyone respected him. But he never told them he was a Christian. And so the story is that on the day that he retired, someone came to him and said, look, there's something different about you. There's something, I've just been watching you for years. And, you know, just as you come to retire, I just wanted to say, I've just really noticed there's something different about you. Are you a vegetarian? So, you know, you get the point, don't you? That it's important. Of course, it's important that our lifestyle backs up the message that we believe and the things that we say. Of course, it is. But it probably won't be enough for many people to join the dots. And owning up and finding ways to own up is key, isn't it? Can we think? Let's just think together. If you just put your hand up, you've got thoughts. What are some sort of simple ways to own up, if you like, so that people know that you are a Christian? And we might think, how do I do that in a sort of non-cringe kind of, you know, way, as my children would say. What are the sort of ways that we can own up? Go on then, Dave, give us some.
We said this before, but simply on Monday morning, people say, how was your weekend? What did you do? And we've all got a great, you know, tomorrow, amazing. What did you do this weekend? Oh, I went on a church weekend away. Mm-hmm. We learned about Jonah.
Yeah.
Oh, what about the fish? Oh, well, isn't that all nonsense? Oh, well, let me tell you, I think something I really try is, what did you do on Monday?
So what did you do at the weekend? What did you do at the weekend is not just what did you do on Saturday, but also what did you do on Sunday? Other thoughts? Yeah, one over here.
I think also your response to things, it's always things going wrong at work, and so I'm going to pray about that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's quite unusual to be saying, I'm going to pray about that. Mm. That's a conversation starter. starter as well.
Fantastic. Yeah, so offer to pray for people. I've just got, while I'm thinking about that, I've got a good thought about that. So the author Glenn Scrivener, who's probably got some books on the bookstall, he talks about how pastoral care for Christians is actually evangelism. So what Christians need when they need pastoral care is to be told the gospel. But evangelism to non-Christians is actually pastoral care. So often with a non-Christian friend, you start with the thing that they're struggling with. And everyone's got different struggles. And you know, if you know them well enough, they might share with you the thing that they're struggling with. And as a Christian, you then got an opportunity to say, it might just be as simple as, is it all right if I pray for that? Would that be helpful? And then more than that, to kind of say, as a Christian myself, as a Christian, I've struggled with this, or I've been through something like that, and here's what helped me in that situation. And that kind of gentle way. So Casey will come to you in a second. There's Daniel over here, I think, first.
One thing that I've done in the past is leave a copy of the Bible on your desk, and that can quite often lead to some conversations, and actually it will flush out other Christians as well. So
it's quite good. You're one of those.
Sometimes I have a slightly different approach, especially with my mummy friends. If we're struggling with our children, I say, I really had to talk to Jesus about that today. And then also when we're struggling with our children, I say, not today, Satan.
There you go, fantastic. Grace?
This is a tip when I got from when I was in Oxford in the church, and I think I was about to leave and get my first job or something like that. And then I remember the women's worker said, when you get to a new job, within 2 weeks, set for some target, you have to tell someone, at the very least, that you're a Christian. Because once you've got it out there, it's a lot easier. So I think this is a tip for young people who haven't got a first job yet, or anyone who's thinking of changing to a new job. Just get out there ASAP, it'll be a lot easier.
Yeah, I mean, the same advice was given to me as a student. I remember going to Freshers Week. Don't wait to the end of Freshers Week to tell them you're a Christian, do it at the start. Here we go, Liz.
Thanks. Sometimes I just find it easier just to lay little breadcrumbs. So if I declare that I'm Christian and then leave it, if that speaks to somebody, they will come and ask me about it, and that kind of deals with number one. The people who are interested will come and ask.
Yeah, brilliant.
And there's also the kind of red line thing. I find that when there's stuff, my job sometimes needs me to be there late or things, but when we've got Wednesday nights as well, trying to actually, sometimes you can't get out of whatever it is, but actually someone's saying, well, I actually have this other commitment, something that I really care about. So just making sure people know what your priorities are.
Yeah, thank you.
Right, Lisa, last one, and then we'll move on.
A friend does this brilliantly, so I don't do it as well as she does, but people look for wisdom. The Bible has a ton. And so you can even just say, I find there's wisdom in the Bible for everyday life, and you bring them into the Word, and then that starts another kind of conversation.
Yeah, fantastic. Thank you.
Thanks so much. Well, we're hearing, aren't we? We're all in the same boat here. It's not easy. But there's a lot of wisdom in the room, and let's keep encouraging each other with how we do that and what that looks like. The other two, after own up. So after you've owned up, what follows is easier than if you haven't owned up, but it's still hard. It's not it's not going to be straightforward. But before we tend to think sharing our faith. We're going to talk about sharing our faith. We're straight to number four, aren't we, which is speak up. That's what we think it is. I've got to sort of speak about Jesus. But we've got to pray first, own up, pray up, own up. But then actually, thirdly, listen up. Now, what is that about? That is about actually really making sure that we understand who people are and what makes them tick, what's going on in their lives. And that involves getting to know them.
It involves asking, you know, intelligent questions and lots of questions. And people like being asked questions, actually. Most people quite like talking about themselves, it turns out. Don't you? I mean, at the right time, sometimes we think, oh, they're being terribly intrusive or whatever. But, you know, in a sort of relaxed environment where we feel we trust the person, yeah, we'll tell them what we think and feel about things, and that we can't quite enjoy that. And that's a bit different from just being sort of, have a barrage of stuff being, you know, being preached at you when you're not ready to hear it. So the book, I don't know whether this book's on the bookstall, have we got Questioning Evangelism on the bookstall?
I'm not sure we have that one, I'm afraid.
No, so that's, yeah, Randy Newman, Questioning Evangelism. We used it as a men's book in the book group last year. And that book, Questioning Evangelism, is all about this. So questioning is saying, we think evangelism is speaking, but first of all, it's asking the right questions. And so it's getting to know people by just keep on asking the questions. And essentially, asking questions in a way that makes people examine what they think about the world. So, oh, it's really interesting that you think that. Why do you think that? And what do you think the reasons for the world being as you think it is are? And so you get people to start to examine what their own sort of worldview and their own way of doing things. And you're just, you know, it's not aggressive. It's just, I'm genuinely interested to find out what makes you tick. And so I'm going to ask questions. And, you know, what Randy Newman talks about is very often what happens in the end is that you've asked so many questions that the person goes, well, tell me what you think. Or they start to kind of realise, actually, what, you know, this doesn't quite add up. So listen to what people are saying before finally speak up, which is when given the opportunity, be able to share something of what it means to follow Jesus. And now very often, we might have done the courses. There are helpful gospel outlines you can use with people. There's, you know, two ways to live and all these sorts of things. But actually, very often the most helpful thing in the context of personal relationships is to share, you know, what it has meant for you personally to trust in Jesus. To be able to say, was there a moment where you became a Christian? You might have been a Christian as long as you can remember. But very often there's a sort of moment where you've come to faith. And what happened? How did that happen for you? Why was that? What was it that drew you to put your trust in Jesus? It's worth noting down how you would do that and even practice that with somebody and say, this is what it means for me to be a Christian. And to put it in those personal terms, that's about what God, you know, so it's about what God has done in your life. And it's communicating something of how Jesus has died for sinners. When we put our trust in him, we find new life, new hope through the risen Jesus and the power of the Holy Spirit. You know, all those things, but personalised to our own experience and what we can share. So, there we go. Lots of things to think about there. Let's have a bit more discussion for a few minutes. You've got three questions there. You can pick the ones that you think are the most pertinent for your group, the ones that you want to focus on. We've got a few minutes to do that, and we'll come back together. So have a look at those discussion questions together in the groups. So as we come to the end of this, or towards the end of this time before coffee, I just wanted to remind us of this Vision Evening. If you were with us back in November, and if you weren't, then you can see it for the first time. But in some ways, this is about putting into practice what we've just been talking about, and helping one another do that. So, and what that's looking like in the life of the church. So, our sort of overall vision that's been driving what we do for many years is living for Jesus, sharing his good news. And so in this particular year, at the moment of focus as we think about living for Jesus. We wanted to focus particularly on hospitality and community. As we continue to sort of recover from that COVID thing and all of that, as we find ways to keep sharing life with one another, including one another in what is going on, doing the sort of bring and share lunches. We've got Sunday evening service meals going on now every other week, which has been a great way to encourage community in the evening service. Has been really helping with that. And we have been doing some bring and share lunches. I guess this weekend has kind of replaced that a little bit for this term, but we will certainly be continuing to do that. That's that thing also of how we welcome newcomers. We get a lot of newcomers all the time at St John's, just by virtue of where we are and the building that we have, and all of that tends to just draw people in for all kinds of reasons. But it's more usual than not to have newcomers with us on a Sunday. So how do we welcome them? And it's all of our jobs, isn't it? It's all of us need to, as the church family, keep on welcoming people and that key thing of introducing them to someone else. So what do you do? Well, you know, you met someone, oh, you're new, it's lovely to meet you. And it's easy at the end of having a little chat with them just to find a way to end the conversation and move on. End it by introducing them to somebody else so that they are then constantly meeting new people. And the more people a newcomer meets, the more welcome they feel, is what people say. Okay, so we want to keep on doing that. And if you want to be involved in that sort of ministry in a particular way, you know, there is a welcome team who particularly focus on greeting people at the door. And Corin is the person to speak to about that. And that's a really vital ministry. You know, the first people that people meet as they walk through the door, are they met with a smile or a frown? You know, that's really important, isn't it? But obviously what we're saying is welcome goes well beyond just giving them a notice sheet and saying hello. That particular ministry, do talk to Corin. Yeah.
Go on.
That's a great, really helpful, Yolanda. Thank you so much. Yeah. Thank you. Let's do that. So, Corin, we can look at that, can't we, and make sure that those are available. But it's things like that. As we just notice things that are happening in our services and thinking, it's really helpful to point these things out because people may not have noticed that this goes on. I mean, actually, if I'm standing at the front preaching, I often see these people coming in, but most people are facing the other way. You don't see what's going on behind you. There is this sort of activity that happens as the passers-by come in, have a look. Ooh, I'm not sure about this. or whatever. Oh, this is intriguing. I want to find out more. But whatever it is. But, you know, actually, yeah, this is an opportunity to engage with people and be not what they're expecting in some ways. Okay? So, yeah, that's great. Small groups, you know, at the moment we've got this real change course going on. We'll be restarting the normal small groups after Easter, as normal, going back to the groups we were in before. Making church smaller for people and building a community in those small groups is really important. The ministry of showing up and just being there for one another is really vital. Encouraging others who are not in groups into groups. And always as well, thinking about what's coming next. So looking, are there people around that we're meeting, that are in our groups, and we think this person could be a leader of a group, and that ministry is absolutely vital for those small groups. I think lots of people appreciate them, but we often feel like we wouldn't be able to lead a group, and that may be for understandable reasons, but it's a really vital ministry without which the groups won't happen. And so, you know, people who are growing in faith and able to lead others are, you know, over time we want to develop leaders in doing that. So that's living for Jesus, sharing his good news. Outreach to children and youth is going strong, bucking the trends of so many churches are really struggling. And just through the basics of having a team of leaders who are engaged, particularly on Friday evenings, and engaged, but they're engaged and they love what they're doing and they turn up and they get involved, and you've got a lot of young people. I mean, there were towards 40 young people across Engage and Engage Plus last time it met, which is extraordinary for a, you know, for churches at the moment. I mean, I know in the Diocese of London, pre-COVID, 1.5% of churches reported they had no children in church, no under 18s in church on a Sunday, 1.5%. Post-COVID, it's gone up to 30% of the churches in the Diocese of London saying they have no under 18s on a Sunday. Okay, so you know, this is absolutely vital to have this outreach to these people. Yeah, what? Absolutely.
So if you cannot come, be praying, because these girls, as Muslim girls, actually coming here, they at least can stand up for what they believe in. So please be praying.
Yeah, thank you. Please do pray. And, you know, if you want to get involved, even just occasionally, talk to David or to Aaron about particularly the Friday evening stuff. But there is also awesome, there is Saturday Night Alive, which is a less regular thing for the older teens. Mini Mischief on a Thursday morning for toddlers and babies and carers. Awesome earlier on a Friday as well. So there's lots going on, and as well as the regular Sunday morning ministry. Grace Advocacy, just to update you, that we've now got a little team together who have begun to do some training. So this is a team that would meet with people midweek. And you know, in St John's, it's hard to find people who've got the time to give midweek during the day to a ministry like this. But praise the Lord, we have got enough people to make that happen. And there's a few in the room right now here who've done that training. So we will be just working as, you know, as fast as we can. But you know, it takes time to set this up and to do it right. But to be reaching, remember, beyond the fringe was the big theme that Jason challenged us with on the weekend away last year. And you know, this is us putting that into practice. So reaching people who are in various ways in crisis and helping them get back on their feet and issuing a gentle invitation to Christian faith in various ways. So pray for that. And then community outreach. In November, before the anniversary things, or it was probably earlier than that, it was probably about September, we did some leafleting to invite people to our anniversary events. And we just realised, actually, leafleting in the sense of knocking on their door and actually inviting them. And we just realised, actually, that it went better, way better than you might think. And people were far more sort of happy to see us than you might fear. So remember that fear thing, actually, it turns out it's not as difficult as you think. Particularly if you're just doing a gentle invitation. You know, it's a bit different. You knock on the door and say, would you like to talk about Jesus Christ? You know, that, you know, that, that there are different ways of doing this, but an invitation is probably the easiest thing. It's just like, we're a local church. We'd love to invite you to this. So, you know, we haven't got concrete plans yet. Obviously, over the winter, it's not a great time to be going out doing that kind of thing. So as we get into spring, we've got Easter, obviously, which could provide opportunities, holiday club. We've got the another art exhibition at the end of June. So like the one we did in November, we're going to do that again. And just a great way to get people into the building and a positive thing to invite people to, with gentle kind of testimony from all the artists, and opportunity to, once people are in the building, you've got an opportunity to tell them about what we're doing as a church. So all of that's going on, just to remind us, keep praying for that. And, excuse me. So this Wednesday is our monthly prayer meeting, as we get back into things. So March, our March prayer meeting. But as part of that, the finance team as well are going to come and present an update on finances. So there was that at the vision meeting back in November. So this is an update on that. So please do come on Wednesday and hear that. And we're also going to have in May a kind of a giving Sunday where we focus specifically on that in the life of the church. So pray for those things, and it will be really helpful to come and hear that on Wednesday and be praying about that, and hearing from the finance team, and Chris and Arka, our treasurer, will be doing that. Great, so any final questions, comments on any of those things? Let me pray, and we're going to have some tea and coffee together. Father, thank you for this time. We thank you for one another, for the wisdom that we have to share with one another as we think practically about putting into practice what we've been hearing over this weekend. We thank you for the good news about Jesus. We thank you for the good news that we have to share, that this is good news for people. Help us to pray and to own up, to listen up, to speak up. Help us to encourage each other in that and to keep living out our vision for our church, and living for Jesus, sharing his good news. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.